Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And welcome to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And it is our mid-month episode for the month of March 2018. It's been a while since we last recorded, but holy crap, there is a lot to go through.
Yeah, it's because we didn't really go over new releases in our last episode. But that was because I procrastinated and I was not ready.
They don't even know that.
That's true.
That all of a sudden we were blindsided by a lot of new releases.
Marvin went to South by Southwest, so it wasn't like we could have recorded earlier anyway.
That's true.
So it's
my fault.
Yes. It's not mid month anymore. I would say it's more like late.
Well, it's our March news episode, so we're going to go through all the new releases of books by Asian and Asian American authors, as well as some. We've got quite a bit of book news this week too for this episode.
Yeah, even this morning, I was like, "Holy crap, gotta add this to our list."
I know this is in the midst of, as you all know, Rira is a huge figure skating enthusiast addict.
I think they got it, Marvin.
And it's currently the I always thought that the year of the Olympics, that counted as the World Championships, but it doesn't.
No way.
Okay.
But Nathan Chen, he's first right now. Vincent Zhou is third. So Team America is doing really well.
I mean, but it's not Olympic gold, so it doesn't really mean anything.
I would say World Championships mean more, but...
Anyways, you can catch up on all that in our imaginary figure skating podcast.
Somehow figure skating shows up in every episode.
We should find someone just as crazy as you are about figure skating.
Hit me up on Twitter.
And start a podcast. I can produce. That's what I can do. But let's get to it. Before we start, as always, remember that you can join in on the conversation, talk to myself, Rira, and the other members of Books and Boba by joining our Goodreads group. Just go to goodreads.com, and if you're a avid reader, you should already be there. And just search for Books and Boba. Make sure to introduce yourself in the introductions thread.
And our book of the month for March is What Lies Between Us by Naomi Munawira. We have about a week until the end of March, so if you have not started yet, like Marvin here, get to it. But if you don't manage to get the book in time, don't worry. We're here. We're a time capsule. You can listen to us after you read the book.
It's kind of like, I don't know how to feel. I guess it's fine that people are telling us that, well, I don't listen to your discussion episodes until I read the actual book, which is fine.
It's fine. But, as long as you listen to us.
I'm glad it's there for you to listen to. And no, we're going to try to have some more timely conversations, such as like the news episodes and the interview episodes more frequently too. So watch out for those. We're here to offer just another perspective for you to reflect upon your reading. So
yeah,
it's really, really on your time.
I mean, if you guys want to send us questions, we'll gladly answer them on air. So You can do that on the Goodreads forums or on Twitter.
Yeah, for those of you who are reading along with us and have your thoughts, if you share on Goodreads, it'll probably get on the podcast in some form or another. So,
guys, I have a lot of thoughts about this book. I'm on part four right now.
There's four parts. How long is this book?
It's around 300 pages. It's not as long. It's not as long as Pachinko or Jade City.
I can knock that out in about a couple of days.
Yeah, it's a really dark book. I did not expect it to be so dark in the first half, but I thought it was going to be a crime novel, and I guess it technically is, but it's more slice of life. It goes through the main character's life from like a girl to an adult.
Okay.
So it was interesting, and I'm really liking it so far.
Okay, that's good. I'm going to start crack that one open as soon as I receive it. But let's move. Let's get on with the show. New releases.
Yeah, new
Here
releases.
Here are the new releases since our last episode, as compiled by Riri Yu. And yeah, like we said, it's a huge list. So strap in, and if you hear anything that's interesting, you know, go on and get it. We do this for you.
And first on our list is The Place Between Breaths by An Na. It released on March 6th, and it was published by Caitlin Deloy Books. And the synopsis goes, Grace's father is determined to find a cure for schizophrenia, which plagued his wife for years and led her to disappear one day. Although Grace interns at the prestigious lab where her father works as a recruiter, she doesn't share her father's optimism that a cure will be found. Then Grace's own sense of reality begins to unravel, and she becomes increasingly disoriented by images and sounds. Told in frequent shifts in time and perspectives, the novel reflects the state of Grace's fractured mind. And that is The Place Between Breaths by An Na.
Next up is Restore Me, Shatter Me number 4 by Tahereh Mafi, also released on March 6th, published by HarperCollins. Juliet Farrar's thought she'd won. She took over Sector 45, was named the new Supreme Commander, and now has Warner by her side. But she's still the girl with the ability to kill with a single touch, and now she's got the whole world in the palm of her hands. When tragedy hits, who will she become? Will she be able to control the power she wields and use it for good? And that's part of the Shatter Me series, number 4.
And next up, we have Rainbirds by Clarissa Gonawan, released on March 6th, published by Soho Press. Ren Ishida is nearly finished with graduate school when he receives news of his sister Keiko's violent murder. He travels to the town of Akakawa to conclude his sister's affairs, but soon finds himself picking up where Keiko left off, replacing her as an English teacher at a local cram school and moving into her old room at a wealthy politician's mansion in exchange for reading to the man's ailing wife. As Ren familiarizes himself with the figures of Akakawa, he slowly tries to piece together what happened the night of Keiko's death.
More crime for you.
I really want to read this book. I am waiting. I requested it at my library because they didn't have it. So I am waiting for the book to arrive at my library. So I'm very excited to read it.
Cool. And next we have Girls Burn Brighter by Shabha Rao, released on March 6th and published by Flatiron Books. When Purnima meets Savitha, she feels something she lost for good when her mother died, hope. Purnima's father hires Savitha to work one of their sari looms, and the two girls quickly become inseparable. But when the devastating act of cruelty drives Savitha away, Purnima leaves behind everything she has ever known to find her friend again. Alternating between the girls' perspectives, Rao's novel follows their travels from village to city, eventually from India to Seattle.
And next up, we have The Night Diary by Veera Hiranandani. It also released on March 6th, and it's published by Dial Books. Set in 1947 during the partition of India, the novel follows Nisha, a half-Muslim, half-Hindu 12-year-old girl who no longer knows where she belongs. When her father decides it's too dangerous to stay in what is now Pakistan, Nisha and her family become refugees and embark first by train, but later on foot to reach her new home. The journey is long, difficult, and dangerous, and after losing her mother as a baby, Nisha can't imagine losing her homeland too. But even if her country has been ripped apart, Nisha still believes in the possibility of putting herself back together.
Cool. Next up is Paper Sons, a memoir by Dixon Lam, released on March 6th and published by Autumn House. Set in a public housing project in San Francisco, Paper Sons explores Lam's transformation from a teenage graffiti writer to a high school teacher working with troubled youth while navigating the secret violence in his immigrant family's past. The memoir is about coming of age as a Chinese American in the hardscrabble streets of San Francisco and asks readers what it takes for a person silenced by exclusion and violence to hold on to hope.
Next, we have Hiroshima Boy by Naomi Hirahara, released on March 13th, published by Prospect Park Books. In the seventh and final installment of the award-winning Mas Arai series, retired L.A. gardener Mas returns to Hiroshima to bring his best friend's ashes to a relative on a small island, only to be embroiled in the mysterious death of a teenage boy who is about the same age as Mas when he survived the atomic bomb in 1945. So this is the seventh book in Naomi Hirahara's series. I think the first book is The Summer of Big Bocce.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, I know they tried to make that into a movie at some point.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It didn't finish its Kickstarter campaign.
The really cool thing about that series is the first book, at least, it's set in Pasadena, which is where we're recording this podcast right now.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have, like, instead of, like, a sexy detective, you have, like, an old, like, jaded gardener as a detective. So it sounds really interesting. I definitely want to get to it when I have time.
Yeah, it's like Columbo, just like the frumpy like
the I just like bitter detective. Old men, like, just kind of being like,
you know, that's
like,
true.
I'm too old for this and, yeah, and doing it
we
anyway.
We need more Murdochs, less Riggs in this world, for those of you who caught my awesome analogy. Next up is Go Home, edited by Rowan Hisayo Buchanan, released on March 13th, published by the Feminist Press at CUNY.
CUNY.
CUNY. That's the City University?
Yeah.
Of New York. Go Home is always a slur, but often also an impossibility. This collection explores the word's personal and political dimensions. New emerging established Asian diasporic writers touch on the personal and political dimensions of home in the 21st century. Both urgent and meditative, this literary anthology showcases fiction, memoir, and poetry from a diverse array of voices, including Alexander Chi on Scarred Bodies, Kimiko Han on Gustatory Memory, and Amitava Kumar on the Art of Writing Immigrant Narratives.
The foreword is written by Viet Thanh Nguyen, so... Nice. I there are definitely more authors than the ones we mentioned in the synopsis. So
yeah.
It sounds like a really interesting collection. I really do want to read it.
Sounds like a lot of great authors, too. I know Alex Chi, he sometimes interacts with us on Twitter, so that's a familiar name.
He's the author of Queen of the Night. Mm-hmm. So, great book.
Cool.
Next up is Not My White Savior by Jelaine Lee, released on March 13th. Not My White Savior is a memoir and poems exploring what it is to be a transracial and inter-country adoptee and what it means to grow up being constantly told how better your life is because you were rescued from your country of origin. Following Jelaine Lee from Korea to Minnesota and finally to Los Angeles, this collection of poems asks what better means. In which ways was the journey Lee went on better than what she would have otherwise experienced? And that's Not My White Savior by Jelaine Lee.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of these emerging narratives now that the adoptees that came in like the 80s are old enough to write and publish books.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is that this is a memoir in poems. So it's not in prose. So that is like a very interesting form to tell her story.
Yeah.
Next up is The Astonishing Color of After by Emily XR Pan, released on March 20th and published by Little Brown Books for young readers. In the wake of her mother's suicide, Lee Chun Sanders travels from the U.S. to Taiwan, where she meets her maternal grandparents for the first time. Convinced that her mother has been reincarnated as a great red bird, Lee searches for her mother and winds up chasing after ghosts and uncovering family secrets. And as she grieves, she must try to reconcile the fact that on the same day she kissed her best friend and longtime secret crush, her mother was taking her own life.
pretty heavy for a young reader's book.
I've been seeing this book everywhere. Like, it's been like listed as like the one of like the top most anticipated books of 2018. So yeah, it's been getting a lot of buzz, and I've been hearing a lot of good things about it.
Cool. Next up is The Heart Forger by Rinchi Peckel, released on March 20th. No one knows death like tea. Or Tia.
It's tea.
Let's say tea. A bone witch who can resurrect the dead, she has the power to take life and return it. And she is done with her self-imposed exile. Her heart is set on vengeance, and she now possesses all she needs with the help of these terrifying beasts. She can finally enact revenge against the royals who wronged her and took the life of her one true love. War is brewing among the kingdoms, and when dark magic is at play, no one is safe.
So this is the sequel to The Bone Witch for the people who recognize Rinchi Peckel's name. Mm. I think it's a duology. I don't know if there's a third book. Let's say it's just the second book in this series.
Sounds like shit's going down, though. So if you're interested in what happens to T, the Bone Witch, you should get this book.
Next up is Along the Indigo by Elsie Chapman, released on March 20th and published by Amulet Books. The Town of Glory is known for two things: businesses that front for seedy, if not illegal, enterprises, and the suicides that happen along the Indigo River. Marsden is desperate to escape the bed and breakfast where her mother works as a prostitute, and she wants to give her little sister a better life. To raise funds for their escape, Mars starts skimming cash from the dead bodies that show up along the Indigo River. It's there she runs into Jude, who has secrets of his own and whose brother's suicide may be linked to Mars' own sordid family history. As they grow closer, the two unearth secrets that could allow them to move forward or chain them to the Indigo forever. This sounds like a very eerie book. It's like definitely a mystery vibe that I'm getting.
In like small town, like kind of like Ozarksy or
Twin Peaks
or Quincy. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's better. That's a better metaphor.
Metaphor.
Metaphor. Is that right? That's a better...
it's late, you guys.
Yeah. next up, we have Bury What We Cannot Take by Kirsten Chen, released on March 20th, published by Little A. The day 9-year-old Sansan and 12-year-old Aliam discover their grandmother smashing a framed portrait of Chairman Mao is the day that forever changes their lives. To prove his loyalty to the party, Aliam reports his grandmother to the authorities, setting in motion a terrible chain of events. Now they must flee their home on Drumwave Islet, which sits a few hundred meters across the channel from mainland China. But when Aliam's mother goes to procure visas for safe passage to Hong Kong, the government will only issue them on the condition that she leave behind one of her children as proof of her family's intention to return. Wow. I wonder how many stories there are about like this... I imagine this happens during the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Bury What We Cannot Take by Kirsten Chen.
Next up, we have Emergency by Mary H.K. Choi. Releases on March 27th, published by Simon Schuster Books for young readers. The synopsis goes, when Penny Lee leaves home to attend University of Texas, she's eager to learn how to become a writer and just be away from her overwhelmingly extroverted Korean mother. She soon crosses paths with Sam, a college dropout and aspiring documentary filmmaker who works and lives at a local coffee shop. Their friendship starts out awkward after Penny catches Sam in a vulnerable moment, but soon the two are texting each other every day and sharing everything from their deepest anxieties and secret dreams without the humiliating weirdness of having to see each other. This sounds like my jam because I have social anxiety and all of my communication is pretty much through text messages, so I can relate.
Truly a story for those introverted millennials out there.
Everyone texts nowadays. Who calls anymore?
So this is basically like the world's longest Tinder exchange. That's what I'm reading out of this.
I wouldn't know about Tinder.
next up, we have Arusha and the End of Time by Roshani Choksi. Releases on March 27th, published by Rick Reardon Presents. 12-year-old Arusha lives with her curator mother at the Museum of Ancient Indian Art and Culture in Atlanta, and has a tendency to stretch the truth to fit in at school. One day, three schoolmates show up at Aru's doorstep and to catch her in a lie and dare her to light the cursed lamp of Bharata. When Aru lights the lamp, she unwillingly frees the sleeper. an ancient demon whose duty is to awaken the god of destruction. To save her mother and friends, Aru must find the reincarnations of the five legendary Pandava brothers and journey through the kingdom of death. Wise.
A very whimsical middle grade novel by Roshani Chosky.
Yeah, it's like what's that Ben Stiller movie? Night in the Museum, but like with scarier demons.
Roshani Chosky is the author of The Star-Touched Queen and A Crown of Wishes, and they're both pretty great books, so go check them out.
Awesome.
Next up, we have The Beekeeper, Saving the Stolen Woman of Iraq, written by Dunya Mikhail, translated by Max Weiss. Releases on March 27th, and it's published by New Directions. Written by the acclaimed Iraqi poet and journalist Dunya Mikhail, The Beekeeper tells the harrowing stories of several Yazidi women who managed to escape the clutches of the Daesh, the Islamic State. Mikhail extensively interviews these women who have lost their families and have been sexually abused, psychologically tortured, and forced to manufacture chemical weapons. And as their tales unfold, an unlikely hero emerges. A beekeeper who uses his knowledge of the local terrain, along with a wide network of transporters, helpers, and former cigarette smugglers, to bring these women through the war-torn landscapes of Iraq, Syria, and Turkey back into safety.
Wow. It seems really outlandish, but this is a nonfiction, right?
Yeah, this is a nonfiction novel. Crazy. Which is, you know, which is really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, like, The Beekeeper is, like, the perfect name for, like, a Hollywood movie, too. So maybe, I don't know.
I'm glad that stories like these are coming out in publishing.
Yeah. I mean, there's heroes everywhere. I mean, no matter what you believe, you know, people ultimately want to be good people. Most people. Not all people. Some people are just jerks.
I can't imagine, like, interviewing these women. Like, it must have been very, very hard. And also, like, you know, it's really brave of these women to come forth and share their stories because they are, like, at risk.
Yeah.
Even after escaping. So, it's definitely, like, it's definitely a heavy book. Probably something that you can't read in one sitting.
Yeah. Keep tissues ready. Get ready for breaks.
Lots of breaks.
Finally, the last book in our list is Reflection by Elizabeth Lim, released this on March 27th and published by Disney Press. That's right, Reflection. And if the first thing you thought about is Mulan, then you are correct. This is a Mulan book. When Captain Shang is mortally wounded by Shang Yu in battle, what? Mulan must travel to the underworld, Diyu, I'm going to say in Chinese, in order to save him from certain death. But King Yama, the ruler of Diyu, is not willing to give the captain up easily. With the help of Shang's great lion guardian, Shishi, Mulan must traverse Diyu to find Shang's spirit, face harrowing obstacles, and leave by sunrise, or become King Yama's prisoner forever. Moreover, Mulan is still disguised as a soldier called Ping, wrestling with the decision to reveal her identity to her closest friend. So is this like an alternate reality? Or like concurrent? Does this take place during their training montage?
I don't know. I guess you have to read the book to know.
And this is just Oedipus, isn't it? It's Oedipus slash like the Japanese creation myth with Izanagi and Inami slash Hercules. Why King Yama? Why not Hades? Why not just make it crossover like Kingdom Hearts?
No. No, Kingdom Hearts is such a bad game.
Anyways, what? You take that back.
I've played all of them.
There's only been two.
All of them.
And on the spinoffs.
I played the spinoff.
You know, they might be total trash, but I'm excited about three.
I am too, if I'm being perfectly honest.
They were selling life-size Keyblades at South by Southwest.
Oh, really?
They had like the old Keyblade.
Well, the true fans would be making it in their garages.
It saddened me that I could identify the names of the Keyblades by looking at them. I was like, that's Oblivion. That's the Old Keeper.
Oblivion is the coolest looking one.
Oldkeeper's pretty good.
I like Oblivion more.
And that was Reflection by Elizabeth Lim. I remember we publicized this when it was announced that she was writing for Mulan, right?
Yeah, we've been doing this podcast for that long. You're listening to episode 41, by the way. Wow.
I'm glad that they have expanding universe content for Mulan.
Because we're getting ready for the Mulan live-action film, which is probably not going to be... I'm cynical. I don't think it's going to meet people's expectations.
I want them to do...
It got pushed back a year later because of casting.
Yeah, I want them to do an original story. I want them to Cinderella it. Maybe not mess it up like Cinderella, but like create a new story, then follow beat by beat like Beauty and the Beast. I feel like it's a good story.
Yeah, I just hope it's not a musical. Even though I love the songs from Mulan, I don't think I can handle a live action musical.
I mean, I think if the score like has those motifs, that'd be cool, but like not like a full on musical. And no CG,
I'm just imagining
no CG
it.
Dragons.
No CG dragons, please. No.
But yeah, those are the new releases from for the month of March. Again, if we missed anything, you can let us know by commenting on the Goodreads forums. I know we appreciate. We're only two people, and only one of us is actually keeping tabs on the releases.
I am like 100% sure I missed a lot of books. I don't think there's any poetry books that I've added to this list. But the Asian American Writers Workshop, they have a list as well. So yeah. Cross reference.
I mean, we provide this as a service for our listeners, just to let you know, check out all these great Asian American written books out there that you can be reading for a change of pace. So, you know, if there is something on this list that caught your fancy, you're welcome.
We'll try to make a list of the books that we mentioned in the show notes, or at least in the Goodreads forums.
Yeah, and
so that you guys can find it easily.
We're also in the process of building on our website, so sooner or later you'll be able to find this information on there as well. But let's move on to the book news segment of this podcast. And there's been quite a bit of news, especially in the world of like book to TV. But first up.
Okay, so our first story is that the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books is going to be held next month from April 21st to the 22nd at USC. So you can check out the festival schedule and list of speakers at events.latimes.com. The event is free, but for some panels, you have to buy tickets. So please check out the schedule for that. I think they marked which ones you can actually go to for free. And a lot of Asian and Asian American authors are going to be attending the event. Some of the authors that are going are Lisa Ko, Sanhya Menon, Maureen Gu, Naomi Hirahara, Viet Thanh Nguyen, Alexander Chi, and Arvind Amati. There's a ton. So
yeah,
it is a great opportunity to go meet your favorite authors and hear them talk about their journey in publishing and talk about their genres. It is a very big festival. So it is a great opportunity overall.
Yeah, for you bookworms in Los Angeles. Speaking of festivals, Y'all West announced their lineup of authors earlier this month. The festival will be held from May 4th to the 5th at Santa Monica High School. Books and Boba authors include Emily XR Pan, Rhoda Beleza, Jenny Han, Gloria Chow, CB Lee, and more. So check that out. I might want to try to check this out this year.
I went, I think, last year, and it was pretty fun.
Our next story, Godwin Books acquired North American rights for two books in Japanese author Naoko Uehashi's best-selling The Beast Player series. Set in the medieval Japanese fantasy world, the series follows the life of a young healer set on protecting a kingdom's most prized possession, despite efforts to control this otherworldly beast. The first book is scheduled to release in winter of 2019.
This sounds like your jam, Marvin, because it's a medieval Japanese fantasy. You and Asian fantasies go pretty well together.
Have you heard of the series, The Beast Player?
No, I haven't. Have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of really talented international authors out there.
Yeah.
And we never hear about them because a lot of their books get translated years and years later. So.
I'm excited to check out, like, there's also been a push to translate, like, Chinese fantasy writers too, and it's like it's always interesting, and I know we're probably gonna hit Three Body Problem at some point in this book club's life, but seeing, you know, traditional fantasy or science fiction from a different culture's perspective is always super interesting. So yeah, excited about this.
Next up is Putnam acquired Kat Cho's debut YA contemporary fantasy novel Kumio. which is set in modern-day Seoul and based on Korean mythology. A girl who must kill to survive falls in love with a boy after she rescues him from a goblin, changing the course of her immortal life. The first book in the planned duology is slated for fall 2019. This is my book. I am so excited.
Kumiho is the fox spirit, right?
Yes.
I think
it's a little bit different from the Japanese kitsune because Kumiho is considered like kind of like a sexy woman, if you will, like right. a seducer.
So that's probably closer to the Chinese version too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I immediately thought of the Kumiho K-drama with Shinmina, so I was like...
Isn't there a goblin K-drama too?
Yeah, there is. There's a drama for everything, Marvin.
Does she become a Ninetales?
I mean, Kumiho means Ninetales. Ku means nine.
Next up is Nancy Paulson Books' Bought Count Me In, a middle grade novel by Varsha Bajaj, in which a 12-year-old girl and the white boy next door... become reluctant activists after witnessing a racially charged attack on her traditionally dressed Indian grandfather. And the photos she posts for friends and family go viral. Publication is set for 2019. Wow. So a book about a budding activist and her white ally. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, as we have seen from current events, students can do great things with social activism.
Yeah.
Next up in our list of news, Hatchet Book Group acquired English rights to Tasha Suri's debut fantasy novel, Empire of Sand. Inspired by Mughal Indian history, the story follows a nobleman's illegitimate daughter and a vow-bound mystic who both possess the rare ability to compel the dreams of sleeping gods.
Ooh. G.P. Putnam also bought Melissa De La Cruz's new romantic fantasy series, The Queen's Secret. The duology is about a deadly assassin and the queen he is sworn to protect. Publication is planned for fall 2019 and fall 2020. Melissa Cruz is like, she writes like a book a year, I feel like.
Yeah, she churns them out.
Props to her, man. I can't imagine just like, I feel like she's like always on this new release list that we have.
That's true. Yeah, and we also read her book Somewhere in Between for book club for those of you guys who want to read that. And
this is definitely a K-drama prompt too. The deadly assassin falls in love with the queen.
I mean, we don't really know much about it except for that like one detail. I don't know. Next up, Dowell Press acquired Jack Cheng's untitled middle grade novel following his award-winning debut, See You in the Cosmos. Taking place in a near-future Detroit and set partly inside a video game, the book follows Chinese-American 7th grader Octavia Liu and her blooming friendship with Dante, an African-American boy newly bussed in to her suburban school in a self-driving car. Publication is set for spring 2020.
But yeah, interesting. I'm kind of like, are you excited about the Ready Player One? I hear it's gotten okay, like, pretty good reviews.
Really? The moment I saw the trailer, I was like, it's just like, my God, this looks so bad. I mean, like, I did like reading the book despite it being problematic. Mm-hmm. And I read it as a satire on gaming culture. So it was very, like, hilarious to me when I was reading it. But I think a lot of that satire that I read in the book, it's gone. Like, they took it very seriously. It's like a gritty movie. And I'm like, why is it gritty? It's supposed to be full of colors game characters.
They premiered it at South by Southwest. And from what I read, it seems to be actually pretty, like, a pretty Spielbergian romp. So, I don't know. Anyways,
have you seen the posters, the promotion posters for Ready Player One? They're hilarious. Go Google them. It's so funny.
Anyways, this reminded me of that because of the story taking place partially in video games. So that's cool. Congrats to Jack Chang for getting acquired. Simon and Schuster bought English rights to an untitled picture book written by Linda Sue Park and illustrated by Debbie Ridpath Ohi. The book is part of Ohi's Broken Crayon Doodle series and features determined robots, intrepid kids, and a wild assortment of items all emerging from crayons. Publication is slated for fall 2019.
Linda Sue Park is the author of A Single Shard, which won the Newbery Metal when it released. I think it released like a couple of years ago. But yeah, like congratulations to Linda Sue Park and Debbie Redpath Ohi. Next up, in an interview with Sci-Fi Wire, Sarah Kuhn revealed that there will be three more full-length novels in the Heroine series after Heroine's Journey, which is the third book in the series that follows B. There will also be an ebook novella releasing in July 2019 that ties the two trilogies together.
That's awesome. Congrats to Sarah Kuhn. If listeners might remember that the first book of this series, Heroine Conflicts, was our inaugural Books and Boba book club pick. And Sarah Kuhn actually did join us for our first discussion, not on the air, but...
we also interviewed her on air. We have an episode on that. And it's really funny because we talked to her about Heroine's Journey and about like B, who is Evie Tanaka's younger sister, who is really bratty in the first book. And I guess in the third book, she's more grown up. And I think she, I think a couple of years had passed from what Sarah has told us last time. It's so great that she has three more books in the series.
I know. She essentially has like a cinematic universe worth of movies now that she can make from the Heroine series.
She's like expanding on the Asian superhero genre.
Yeah. Or this could be a six season
seasons
HBO
in a movie?
Prestige show. That's awesome. Congrats to Sarah Kuhn. She just released the I think along with this interview, she released the cover for Heroine's Journey, which looks pretty good.
Yeah. You'll notice a dog in that cover, and that dog is Fitzwilliam Waffles, who is like the mascot of the Red Bodice, which is a romance bookstore in SoCal. So
yeah,
it's a really, really good cover. I mean, it's gorgeous, just like the other covers of the series.
Yeah. Our next story, Netflix bought world rights to the film adaptation of Jenny Han's YA novel To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and will release the film in summer 2018. That's pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. We're getting To All the Boys I've Loved Before and Crazy Rich Asians this summer.
It's to be the summer of Asian American rom-coms.
We're going to take over all of your screens.
The movie is directed by Susan Johnson, screenplay by Sophia Alvarez, produced by Awesomeness Films and Overbrook Entertainment, and stars Lana Condor and Noah Centineo.
Lana Condor played Jubilee in one of the X-Men movies. She was kind of edited out. I'm not sure how much screen time she had.
The Apocalypse one, right? I haven't seen that one yet.
But she's also in the upcoming James Cameron movie, Alita Battle Angel, which is based on a manga.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that. Interesting.
Yeah, it does look interesting. I don't know what to make of it, and I haven't read the manga.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll give it a chance.
At least it isn't like completely whitewashed, which is good.
That is true. That is true. I was so worried about that when I heard that it was based on a manga.
Yeah. But that's exciting. I remember, this deal was just announced last year, so.
Yeah, it's moving very quickly.
Yeah, it's moving very quickly.
And our last piece of news is Hulu won the bidding war for the TV adaptation of Celeste Ng's Little Fires Everywhere. Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington are the executive producers, and they're also starring in the series. This was kind of a
This was a huge deal. Yeah,
this was a really big deal.
I mean, Celeste Ng now is like two for two for her books adapted into like movie/TV.
Oh, that's right. Because
Everything I Never Told You is also being made into a movie, which we reported last month, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
What happened. But yeah, Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington, those are like
big names.
Big names. And I'm guessing they're playing the two main matriarchs, right?
I'm not sure about Kerry Washington. I don't know. Like it's hard to say like which characters they will play. Mm. But I'm really glad that this is going to be a TV series rather than a movie, because there are a lot of characters, and I feel like a movie wouldn't go into all of the backgrounds that the characters come from, and that's really important. So
I'm also glad to see that it's a multiracial cast, because in addition to Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington, there's also an Asian family that's very involved in the story. So.
Yeah. I mean, the story centers on like an adoption of a Chinese baby girl. So, yeah, there's a lot of like Asian American issues in it. And the book takes place in a suburban town in Ohio. I think it's Ohio. And it's set in the 1990s. So it is like a period piece. It's weird to call it a period piece.
From the 90s.
From the 90s. I was alive during the 90s. It's weird. It's weird. It feels weird.
Yeah. So we're going to keep an eye on this project to see more casting news, especially in the role of the mom of the baby, who is very, very involved in the story as well. And yeah, those are the new news for March of 2018. We made it. We did it, guys. We made it through everything.
Some of the news that we announced in this episode came out this morning.
Really?
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, I gotta put them in.
Breaking news as of this recording, which is probably a couple days.
Yeah, a couple days
before
old.
You're listening to it. But thanks again, Rira, for compiling this all together. Hopefully y'all are more aware of what's going on in Asian American literature. I know I'm always glad to learn about what's been going on, because my day-to-day is more with, you know, the music and film and TV. So it's always good. Anyways, yeah, thanks again to Rira for putting in the hard work. Again, for all of our listeners, our March 2018 book club pick is
What Lies Between Us by Naomi Muna Wira. And if you've already finished the book, our April pick is One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter by Scotchy Cole. So you can get a head start on that if you finish our March book club pick.
And that's a memoir, right?
It is a memoir, and I've heard that it's hilarious.
Oh. And if you have interesting pieces of news to bring to the table, please join us on our Goodreads forums. We always love having more people to interact with and talk books with. And so on that note, we'll see you next time when we talk about our March Book Club pick. And until then, keep reading. I'll see you later.
Start the book if you haven't already.
Bye.
This episode of Books and Boba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu, and edited by Marvin Yue. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices from the community. If you like Books and Boba, you might also like Saturday School, a podcast about Asian American film history, hosted by film journalists and scholars Ada Sang and Brian Hu. Catch up with the podcast before they start their upcoming fourth season. You can listen to Saturday School and the other great programs of the Potluck Collective by going to the website podcastpotluck.com.